have a roof.
Okay. When Greg first asked me to deliver a sermon, I wasn't really sure what I would do at first. But over this last week, as I was walking around, kind of thinking about it, pondering it in my head, I kind of noticed a change in the weather outside. Trees were blooming, flowers were blooming, the weather was getting a lot nicer. So as I was walking around, I decided to pick some flowers. And yes, I actually did pick these flowers. Despite the temptation, I didn't go to Jewel. I actually went out, hand-picked them all. I think that's kind of why they're drooping a little bit, but still good. So I'm a firm believer that people's lives, they follow seasons. So basically, a new season, like spring, is a chance to start over, to change the way you live, to new opportunities and things like that. I think that with this new season bringing Mother's Day, it would be appropriate to talk about love. And I'm not talking about the, you know, mushy, wishy, you know, Valentine's Day, chocolate kind of love, even though that's not necessarily excluded. I'm talking about a more caring kind of love, love in a friendship, brotherly love, and maternal love. I've been coming to this church basically ever since I was a child. But I would say about 2 years ago, I went on my first mission trip to West Virginia. That was when I got really involved. And after that, I like started becoming really active in the youth group here. And the first time I went on a mission trip, I didn't know a ton of people. But that first week, I got really good vibes. I could tell that everyone really cared about each other. Throughout the week, we kind of worked together. We laughed together, had a great time. And at the end of the week, we participated in rope, which is basically where everyone goes in a circle and is able to confide in each other and share their closest feelings, and we all cried together. So basically over the last 2 years, even though a mission trip ended, it basically still continued on. I basically was able to laugh and cry and get to know these people even more. And I think through all that, I really learned how to, they loved me and cared for me, and they showed me how to love and care for other people. So basically, over the last couple of years, this church has really shown me how to love and care, so I just wanted to say thank you for that. And you guys have shown me how to love and care, but the Bible also has something to say about that, so I'm going to hand this off to James.
The reading is from 1 Corinthians 13. It's the gift of love. If I speak in tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. And as for tongues, they will come to cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to my childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these, love.
Okay, when I was reading that verse, it says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. I think this is true because people oftentimes they have the misconception when they're doing something nice, they're kind of getting kudos points or whatever for it. But really, I think love and care is something that you're doing something nice for the other person. So, I mean, I think that should be reward enough. And also, this kind of ties in. A lot of people actually disagree with me about this, but I think that's fine. But I think view it as like, I believe when we pass on and we go to heaven, I don't think we're to be judged at the gates of heaven for necessarily like every little good deed we did. I don't think we're to have like a chart. We're here on earth where like every time we do a good deed, we get imagine like a little sticker. I don't think God's going to be like, oh, you only have 49 stickers. You kind of need 50. So you're condemned to hell. Sorry, buddy. So I think that's not the right way to look at love and care. I think it's about doing something for someone else. And I don't know, this is something I think about is like, no one really knows 100% sure what happens to you after you die. I mean, for obvious reasons. But I think one thing that we do know that does happen is what you leave behind here on earth. We always know that you leave behind your spirit and your memory. So that's why I think it's so important to show your love and care for others while you're here on earth. Take advantage of that and what you want to leave behind on this earth. Because after you die, no one really knows what happens for sure. But we do know that like every good thing you do, like every mission trip, every person you help, everyone that you give a nice word to or a stranger you help out, that has an everlasting impact, and that can never be taken away from this world or from you or them. Also, if you've known someone who's like died, something that they leave behind is the memory of them that they leave behind. You know, how you view them, your memories of them, even though they may have passed, you still think about them and like all the good things they've done. Like Greg says, usually at the end of every service, life is short and we do not have much time to gladden the hearts of those who we travel with us. So be quick to love and make haste to be kind. So earlier I was talking about how this church and youth group kind of showed me how to love and care and shown love and cared for me. But that's actually, it's true, but also even before that, a lot of people have loved and cared for me as well. So you guys want to know a little secret? I'll let you in if you guys could keep it on the DL. Okay, see these flowers here? Even though they do look nice, I'm actually going to give them to my mother next service. So you're not allowed to tell her till then. That's it.
Today's Old Testament reading is from the book of Ruth. Naomi and her two sons are living in a foreign land, far from their home in Bethlehem. Both sons were married to foreign women who lived in that country. Their names were Orpah and Ruth. After 10 years, both sons died, and Naomi decided to return to her home in Bethlehem. She kissed her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, goodbye, and told them to go home to her own mothers. But Orpah and Ruth wept at her leaving and said that instead they would return with Naomi to her people. We begin reading in the first chapter, verse 11. But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So Naomi said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus so to me and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Okay. In the Old Testament, the story of Ruth is pretty straightforward. A father and his two sons passed away, widowing each of their wives. Naomi, the mother-in-law of the two other women, urged the young women to return to their homelands to start a new life. While one left, the other, Ruth, insisted on staying with her mother-in-law. "For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." Ruth clung to her mother-in-law, struggling to provide for the both of them. She devoted her life to Naomi, even when she had the opportunity to start a new life for herself. This was a very dark time for the two women. Both of their husbands had died. They were alone in the world, living in poverty. Everyone has a moment like this in life. Not necessarily a traumatic death or poverty, but hitting rock bottom. It seems like nothing can possibly ever get better. For me, this happened over 5 years ago when my father left us without warning. Suddenly, my mother and my sister and I were left to fend for ourselves. Within the time frame of a month, our whole life had been destroyed. My mother worked day and night just to save our house. And 13 at the time, I was so naive, and the only thing I was concerned about was, you know, wearing that name brand clothing that everybody else had, in, you know, in school. And I had no idea, you know, how much of a struggle it was just to save our house and how, you know, much my mom worked. She, you know, tried so hard just to make sure that my sister and I were happy and unaware, you know, of what was happening financially. And this, to this day, I have no idea how she did it. It takes some kind of superwoman to do what she did. We had hit our deepest low point, just like Naomi and Ruth. But like the two women in the story, we held on to the only thing we had, each other. My mother has her favorite sayings, one of which is, "We may not be rich with money, but we're rich in love." And, you know, 13th time, I cannot tell you how much I hated this saying. You know, being rich in love wasn't going to stop the girls at school from picking on my clothes. But looking back, you know, these words seem to make more sense each and every day. And we made it. We did. Just like Ruth and Naomi. They survived on scraps from a neighboring harvest, and we made do with what we had. It wasn't much, you know, but we had each other. And sometimes it really just takes one moment to turn a life around. In the fields, Ruth met a man, Boaz, and they started a new life together and had a child. God gave her the opportunity of a new life. She didn't forget about Naomi, though. They became a blended family that went on to do much greater things. Out of the darkness, God gave these two women something amazing, a new life. For my family, something absolutely beautiful happened. My mom met Randy while she was playing volleyball at Jesse Oaks. And while writing this sermon, I realized that all of the life-changing events of, you know, that have happened in my family happened on this same road. Like, just Jesse Oaks and this church, and, like, it's all just, you know, like, one road. And anyways, at first I was very reluctant. You know, who is this guy? He's not my dad, I mean, that's for sure. But slowly, and I mean slowly, I warmed up to him. This man loves my mother so much that he was willing to love me like a daughter too. He saw the good in us, just like Boaz, and even though we were fragile and broken, he wanted to be a part of our family. From there, everything began to turn up. Randy introduced us to his wonderful family, and one of the first things that his father, Harold, ever said to me was, "You know, I could be your grandpa if you want." It takes a special type of person to instantly adopt a stranger as family, you know? And then the whole family did something that absolutely killed me on the inside. They made me go to church. Ugh. I had never been involved in a church before, and I was completely opposed to the idea. They even forced me to go on a mission trip with the youth group. And I fought it with everything I had. But once I stopped fighting, I realized how awesome this church really is. So accepting and unconditionally loving was what I always wanted. Just like Ruth and Naomi were given a new beginning, my family finally found happiness in life. Do you know, family isn't necessarily the people you share biological genes with. Family consists of the people in your life that mean something to you. These are the people that tell you, "I love you, you're valuable and worth my time." Family isn't necessarily even the people to whom you're related by blood or marriage. It's the people with whom you surround yourself with. The people you want to spend your whole life with. In the past few years, I've felt so blessed to have my family extended to such a large size. From my stepfather, to my grandparents, to the youth group, and our church congregation, you are all a part of my family. You are the people that I love more than anything in this world. And I feel immensely blessed each and every day. The love I felt from my adopted family to the love I feel here in this church, for me, this is the work of God. I see him through you. Everyone goes through a rough patch in life, and it's inevitable. For some it's longer, you know, for some it's, you know, more mild, but God doesn't want us to suffer. His heart breaks just along with ours. Just know that someday you'll see the evidence of his love. It may not be this minute or, you know, maybe in the next couple years, but he loves you and he wants good things for you to happen.